We're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, I'll read you quickly here. I want to give you a... We'll read from down for a few verses here. I want to give you just a very simple message this morning, something that's profound, something that I think the world need. And I've quite simply called it Receiving Jesus Christ. Nothing too complicated in this message. Last week we did a bigger subject on the idea of what the tribulation is. One of the ideas of the tribulation is that the Jews rejected their Messiah twice. They rejected him at the cross when he was delivered to the Romans. If they had received their Messiah, which had been spoken of since the 400-year gap between the Old and New Testament, I want you to understand that when the minor prophets finished, that the synagogues would read every Sabbath from Moses. Think about that. The Jews would read from the copy of the scriptures which they had for all that time, which I'll come to in a moment. And that's why in the book of John, in the early part of the book of John, when John the Baptist had now been introducing Jesus Christ to Israel, he was prophesied in the Old Testament as a voice that prepareth the way of the Lord from Isaiah. When he was baptizing Jesus at Jordan, he pointed out to his disciples that who the Lamb of God was. And when they had found him, the Bible says that Philip and Andrew and Peter, and they said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law spoke about." So think about that. So right there at the very beginning, the disciples of John were now ready to go from following John the Baptist. Jesus Christ is introduced. John is the one who points him out. And when they had found him, the Bible says that we have found him of whom Moses and the law had spoken. Now, if you want to put in context just for a moment, the Jews would read that every Sabbath from Moses. That's what they do. They would read every Sabbath. In some synagogues, maybe they didn't, but in these synagogues, they did. And then what happened after that? Jesus Christ then is given the disciples. God chose them. Jesus calls them. And he calls these men to himself. And what he's about to do, he's now about to send them to the lost house of Israel with the message. So I'll read you in verse 1 of Matthew 10. And the Bible says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Now the names of these 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, is called Peter. Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying... Now, I want you to know what he told them. And you've got to keep... This is a very important verse in your Bible, because he says, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. freely as ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when he had come into a house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon you. Be it not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when he depart out of that the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and in the day of judgment, than for that city. So the disciples then had a message, and they are now to go into all the towns of Israel. And Jesus is saying to them, I've given you, I've ordained you, I've given you power to go in and make it clear to Israel that your Messiah is here. Do you remember when the Lord asked Peter, or who do men say that I am? And some said Elijah and Elisha and so forth. And they weren't to go into the way of the Gentiles, they were to go into the way of the lost house of Israel. And they had a message. And the message was that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. In other words, the thing that they had been waiting for 400 years, prophesied from Daniel, was now very much relevant because there is their Messiah, and this is what's known as the First Advent. Now come over to verse 40 in the same chapter there. And we won't have go through all the things as he ordained and sent his disciples to go off into the lost house of Israel. He prepares them, he tells them to fear not and so forth. But in verse 40, there's a great verse here. And Jesus said to them, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. So think about that for a moment. Those disciples had a message, and that message, Jesus said, if they receive you, they receive me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And it's very interesting to me that faith is so simple. Faith works very much on a very simple basis. And if you receive the message that God has for us, as he there had for Israel at that time, you're not only receiving the message, you're receiving the one who sent the message. And not only that, you now receive the one who orchestrated, and that's the Father. And you think about how simple that is. Of course, now you and I live in a different time where Jesus now has died, buried, and rose again, and that's the gospel. Do you know the gospel is the message for the message today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us, he was buried, he rose again. That is the message that the Father has given to the whole world at this time. And if you receive that message, you receive the Son of God and you receive the one who God sent, or the Father who sent the Son of God, and you receive him. It's as simple as that. It's just a matter of receiving the message. Now, for the Israel, as we did last week, God wasn't offering the Jews Christianity. He was offering them their Messiah, which they had been looking for or reading from for 400 years. He had offered them the one that he had, where Daniel had prophesied about, of all your Old Testament. And the Jews not us, should have recognized him. They had the oracles of God were given to them. They are the people of God, amen. And then there were those faithful ones who would read every Sabbath from the scriptures, the copy of the scriptures, about their Messiah, and they were looking for their Messiah. And there you have that message. And the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And as someone said, well, what if they had received their Messiah right then, the King of the Jews? What would have happened? Would have he still died for us? Yes. We don't know how it would have looked, but they would have received him. And the Jews would want to make him a king, not talking about the individuals. And do you think, and who was in power? Who was in power when Jesus came? Who was the king? Caesar. Rome. Amen. Do you think, could you imagine what would have happened if the Jews started to say, okay, we're going to make Jesus our king? He's the one prophesied as a nation, not just the individual Jew. What do you think the Romans would have done to Jesus Christ? Killed him as ordained in the Old Testament because he was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, amen. And when the Lord stood before Pilate and they hung him there before Pilate, Jesus Christ said to Pilate, when Pilate said to him, know not that I have power to release thee. And Jesus looked at him and he says, you have no power at all unless it's given to thee from heaven. And it was ordained that Jesus Christ should die for the sins of the whole world, amen. And there was nothing Pilate could do about it. And aren't you thankful that when Jesus went to that garden, there was one thing on his mind, and that was the will of the Father. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. If you come over to Luke with me for a moment, I'm trying to put you a picture here of the idea of receiving Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, at the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, the very first thing that the Spirit of God did was to lead Jesus into the wilderness. Now, he's now at the age of 30. His ministry is going to go for 3.5 years. And when the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness, who was Jesus confronted with? The devil, amen. The God of this world. And right there, Satan is offering the kingdoms of this world to Jesus Christ if Jesus will bow down and worship him. It's very interesting to me how Satan wants the worship. He doesn't deserve it. God does, but Satan wants worship. He offered Jesus Christ the kingdoms of this world. And he, knowing that the God of this world knows that he has a short time and he knows who will sit on the throne of David, and that is our Lord, not him. And his ambition is to set up a religious system where he can somehow appear when they rebuild that temple again, and he'll sit on that thing saying that he is God. But Jesus resisted the devil there, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone. And then he returned into Nazareth. And after he had dealt with them, the Bible says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. So Jesus was brought up in Nazareth. He'd been now at the age of 30. And he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. That's verse 16. So what would have happened then? So here Jesus in a synagogue, the minister would have got up, and his custom was to read the scriptures. And sometimes it's really good in church for someone to do that. They just stand up and they read the Bible. That was the practice. So the idea then is that Jesus now, it was his custom. So the minister gets up and gives him a copy of the scriptures. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is Isaiah, by the way, in the New Testament. And he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. I want you to think for a moment, as Jesus is about to read this, he's in his hometown. He's been given the copy of the scriptures. And remember that they had read the scriptures for 400 years concerning Moses and so forth. In verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is where he's reading from Isaiah. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I just make a very clear note here. Jesus is preaching to who? The Jews. The disciples weren't to go into the way of the Gentiles. They were to go into the way of the lost house of Israel. Here in the synagogue, could you imagine the one that they knew gets up, as his custom was, and this is what happened. He reads from that and he closed the book, gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now that would have got the Jews' attention. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Amen. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. You know what he's saying to them? You will not receive me. In John it says, he went unto his own and his own received him not. But we did read of the disciples going to some houses and some did receive them. And by doing so, they received the one that had sent them. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias. It's Elijah. Now, Elijah was the time when Ahab, the wicked king, was after him. And Elijah said, listen, Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. We mentioned that last week. The drought was so bad and that in Israel at that time when they were in there that the Bible says there was no dew on the ground. And Ahab was looking for Elijah. And if you remember, Elijah the prophet, he was over on the other side of a brook and God would take the ravens and they'd go into the palace and take the food and feed Elijah. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years till finally Ahab found Elijah and Elijah prayed and it rained. And of course, that's a picture of God's judgment upon the house of Israel back then. But then the Lord says to the Jews here, he says, I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. There were many women there that when this drought was happening, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Jesus just made it very clear to those Jews that Elijah went to a Gentile city, not to a Jewish city. And that Gentile widow received Elijah. That must have cut to their heart. Because how did the Jews think about us as Gentiles? Dogs, okay? Remember Jonah? He hated the Gentiles so much he wasn't willing to preach to them. He was a prophet to do that. So he ran from God and what happened to him? He ended up three nights in the whale's belly, amen? I mean, they were hard, stiff-necked and they weren't willing to cross that line as far as the Gentiles were concerned, and Jonah didn't even want to see the Gentiles get in. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed saving Naaman the Syrian. And if you know the story about Naaman the Syrian, he was in the north. A little girl went up to him and said, she worked in the palace, said that there was a prophet in Israel, and he went to see that prophet as a Gentile. He must have been he was a Syrian. He was a captain, and the prophet said, "Go and dip thyselves 7 times in the River Jordan," which after some fuss he went and did, and he was cleansed. So now Jesus Christ has given another illustration that they would have known, that a Gentile got cleansed. And the Bible says that when they had heard these things, they were filled with wrath and rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him unto the brow of the hill whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. So when you think about the Lord for a moment, they didn't like the message. So what did they do? Going to throw him over the edge, kill him. The Jews were. And you say, why? Because they didn't want to receive the message that God had for that nation. Am I going to get an amen out of this? How do you think people treat me? Or you, if you go around and you give the message today of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins and buried again and rose again. By the way, that is the good news. And it is good news. And if you believe from your heart that God raised him from the dead and confession is made with the mouth, that you are saved, or whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember when I heard the message and I was thinking that the Lord had raised up Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in the heart shall be saved. And I thought, wait, man, that is the message for today. Listen, it's not a message about church. It's not a message about a Christian religion. It's a message about God sending his son to die for our sins. Now, here's the point. The Jews didn't receive the message that God was offering them their Messiah. So they rejected him. So what is God offering the Jew, the individual Jew now? Christianity. He's offering them, you got to get in the same way as a Gentile does. You have to receive my son as your saviour. You rejected my son as the Messiah. You did that twice. And now Jesus Christ has cast them off for a season. And the door opens where the Gentiles become in. And we receive the message where the Jews didn't. And us as Gentiles receive the message more so than the Jews do, that Christ died for our sins. Is that not true? And when you read the New Testament, you remember the Grecian woman? She was a Gentile. And Jesus had sent his disciples to the lost house of Israel. And when she came and she said, when she was begging, she says, doesn't even the dog eat the crumbs from the master's table? And Jesus looked at her and said, woman, thy faith is strong. And she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus didn't want to go back through Israel, but he went through Samaria? And the Samaritans are what? Half Jew, half Gentile. Okay, the Jews aren't very happy with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were from the northern tribes. What happened then that the Lord said, I have a divine appointment. He sent his disciples into the city to get food. And he went out and he met a woman at the well. And that woman was a Gentile. She was a Samaritan. And when after a while the Lord started dealing with her because she said, well, art thou a Jew? And why askest thou me water? And the Lord said unto thee, if you knew who it was speaking unto you, you would have asked that living water. And God started to deal with her. And she said, and then the Lord, remember the Lord said to her, go and call thy husband And she spoke the truth and she said, she said, I have no husband. And the Lord said, that's right, you've had five. Isn't it amazing how the Lord knows who we are? And he wasn't worried about going to this Gentile woman who probably was an outcast, because the idea was that she's out at the well in the middle of the day. The custom would have been for her as a woman to go with the other women in the cool of the day to get water, not in the middle of the day, amen? So he meets her there. She's a Gentile. And the Lord had come to the lost house of Israel and he said to those disciples, don't you go in the way of the Gentiles, but whatever house receives you and your message, they have received me. That's how simple faith is. And she said to the Lord, this is what she said, and I'll read it to you. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Isn't it amazing that a Gentile woman knew more about the Messiah than the lost house of Israel, and she was willing to listen to him because she said, when he cometh, he will tell us all things. And the Lord looked at her and said, it is I. And she left her water pot. She ran into that village and she said, come and hear a man that told me all things. And as she ran into that village, the Bible says that they came out to hear him and he abode with them for 2 days. And it's interesting to me that she received the message as a Gentile, but the Jews didn't. So now, we're now in that situation that you have a message. When the Lord had met those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, now that Jesus had died, he was buried, he rose again, they had forgotten, and it was hid from them what he had been teaching them, that he was going to be spat upon, he was going to be mistreated and crucified, but he did tell them that he would rise again the third day. But when they were on the road, they were disappointed because what they thought was going to happen didn't happen. But when the Lord pulled up beside them, you know what he did? He opened up the Bible to them, the Old Testament. By the way, just remember, they would have been reading this every Sabbath. And he opened it up and he began at Moses and went right through, revealing everything that had to do with him. He reminded them of what they had been reading and what they had been expecting and what they were hoping for. And that could have happened if they didn't reject Peter's preaching at the day of Pentecost and Jesus was ready to return. So here's the idea then. If God's people didn't receive him, we start noticing that the Gentiles who aren't God's people do start receiving him. Now, for you and I, if we lived back then, for us to get on the right side of God, say, you would have had to become a Jewish proselyte, meaning that you would have had to go on to Jerusalem, you would have given up your citizenship as a Gentile and become a Jew. That's why the Ethiopian eunuch was coming back. He was in that chariot and he was reading from the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, where it talks about where the Lord bruised the Son of God, it pleased him, and Philip was told to go and get up near this chariot, and Philip said, well, what does thou readest? And he says, how can I read lest some man guide me? And he was reading from Isaiah, and he said, well, who does this man speak of, himself or of another? And what did Philip do? And he opened his mouth and began to preach who? Jesus Christ. That was a Gentile Jewish proselyte who got saved in Acts 8. Acts 9, you get Saul, the Jew, becomes Paul. He gets saved. He's on the road to Damascus. There was a great light shot about him. And he said, oh, Lord, what shall they have me to do? And then Acts 10, you have Cornelius who was praying and his prayers became up before God, just the same as it did in Exodus. And God then sent a Jew called Peter, who's on a roof before lunchtime, we figured it out, and God sends him down this great big sheet with all these animals on. And of course, a Jew wouldn't have touched anything that was on that sheet because they wouldn't eat pork, pigs, whatever. And the Lord said, what I have cleansed, called not uncommon. And then right at the gate, there were three men sent from Cornelius to fetch him. And that Jew went into that house, that Gentile centurion who had been praying, and he opened up his mouth and he preached the gospel and the Gentile gets saved. Now, what do you mean? Number 10 is a Gentile number, and the Gentiles start to get saved where the Jews started to reject him. Now, here's the point. And if you go back to your own thinking here for a moment, what did it take you to receive Jesus Christ? Did you believe the message that was given to you? Okay. It's interesting when the gospel, and Fred said this the other day to me, he said, you know, I heard the gospel most of my life, but he was at a church service and then he heard that Jesus had died for him. I said to Brother Fred, it became personal, didn't it? It's when the message becomes personal to us. It's when we realise that Christ died for me personally. It has to be personal, because how can you receive him if it isn't personal? Is that fair to say? Now, why am I saying all this? Because you and I live in an age, I think, that I start to see people aren't receiving the Lord as the Saviour as maybe once they were. Meaning that there was a time when the gospel message was God's message today, both Jew and Gentile, and it seemed as though everyone knew it and they proclaimed the gospel and people went out and they got saved, amen. And there was an idea that then it was God who saved me. It had nothing to do with a church or any other such thing, and you knew that you were saved, and the term comes back to, sometimes the term can come back to you, you know that you're born again. The different terms that you can use. For me, I did all the confession under the sun. I had this great list of all my sins. And I started, because I realised that he died for me, but I wasn't too sure whether I was saved, amen. So I wanted to make sure I confessed everything. And I still wasn't really sure. Till one day I realised that, hang on, Lord, I used to go that way. Now I'm walking this way. What happened? By receiving the Lord, he turned our life around, started heading the believer in the right direction. That's why we can call him our shepherd, amen? That's why he said, my sheep know my voice and we follow him. You know, as much as the Jews didn't receive the message for them at that day that God had given them, we now have moved into a place, I don't think the message has been received, that God still has for every man, woman and child. And if you think about the message for a moment, it's so simple, it's so profoundly wonderful, because what do you have to really do to receive it? Just believe it. Amen. Nothing. You don't have to do anything. Because, watch, Jesus said to them, those disciples, listen, if they receive you, they have received me. and they have received the one who sent the Lord, amen, the Father. If you receive the message, that's why he says in Romans, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the glad tidings of good news. If you receive the message that it was Christ dying for you personally, and all you have to do, I believe it and thank him. It's as simple as that. Oh, thank you, Lord. You died for me. And as soon as you trust the Lord that he died for you personally, God imputes unto you his righteousness and makes you and I right, because we have now believed the message that God has for us today. That message hasn't changed. It's the same message that's been around for the last 2,000 years. We're not in the Great Tribulation yet. What's happened, I think, where there was once a devotion for the individual believer was a devotion to the Lord himself, meaning that they were willing as a believer just to follow him. Very simple, not complicated. And what is being offered today is not creedal belief. Creedal belief, meaning that term just basically means that you are now willing to trust him to do what he wants you to do for his life. In other words, a disciple was someone who was devoted to Jesus Christ. He wasn't devoted to a cause. He wasn't devoted to a church. He was devoted to the Lord himself. The New Testament is no different. As soon as you trust him, now your devotion should be to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I don't call him Jesus, because he is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is now Lord. Amen? As Chambers said, you know, man could spit on him, curse him, abuse him, do whatever they liked to him, and God didn't react. Amen? But now that he is our Lord, you're not going to do the same to him, amen? Because you wouldn't. But now what's happened, we have now moved into the age of personal preference. In other words, people would rather have their preference and they'd rather be devoted to the cause maybe that Jesus started and not devoted to him. What do you mean, Simon? Well, okay, let me put it this way to you. It's very easy to be devoted to a cause, okay? Think about it. It's very easy to be devoted to a church. It could be very easy to be devoted to anything, really. You know why? Because we can see it. And then we kind of think this way, that if we're devoted to a cause and it's growing, it's getting bigger, then it must be of God, okay? Well, you know, Canberra, Parliament House, is that of God, that thing down there? There's a lot happening, isn't there? People are devoted to the cause. They're devoted to the politics. They're devoted to whatever it is. And the Lord says, no, I don't want you to be devoted to a cause. I just want you to be devoted to me. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the standard. He is. Not a church, not a pastor. He is the standard. And I show you how come the Lord is the standard. The Lord was never, ever interested, or he never gave in. I'll read it so I put it into proper language. The Lord Jesus Christ never gave in to the will of man, but was totally here to do the will of God by a natural way of thinking, by being devoted to the will of God and dying on the cross. He then became a blessing to many, amen? It's the same with you and I. Once you're devoted to the Lord, I'm not devoted to a cause, but there's a natural outcome that then, through that, God can have his will. So what I mean by that is this. When you receive the Lord as your Saviour, I want you to think for a moment, you have to make this personal. Often we look at God in this idea, what God can do for me. Can I get an amen out of that? Come on, seriously. Listen to me. That we all look to the Lord and to see what he can do for us. We're selfish little rat bags, okay? I'm just going to put it quite plainly, quite clearly. We're always running to the Lord because we want him to do something for us. We always want that happens when it goes bad, okay? Finances, whatever it is. Now, there are times that we do need to do that because, truthfully, there are only some times that only God can do it, amen? We're just praying for that young fellow who's gone missing. I tell you who can find him, and that's the Lord. So we do need to go to God when we have an issue. But we don't need to be selfish about it because we've got to realise and understand that I'm always asking God for something. I wonder where the Lord says, not you again, Moya. I wonder if he gets sick of it. Because he did say to us he'd never leave us. He said he'd never forsake us. He's always going to be with you. We can walk right off this earth into heaven, amen, because of what he did for us. But have you ever thought this? It's not what God can do for us he's interested in. Because think about it for a moment. He can do anything. If he can save you, he can keep you. If he created the earth, he can uncreate it and make it again. If he can provide for Elijah in the middle of the desert and take the food of Ahab's table by ravens and go and feed him out in the desert, our God can do anything. Our God can provide a table in the wilderness, amen? It doesn't really matter how bad things get because I know our God can provide for us because not only that, he saved us when we received him. But do you know what the Lord does want? You know what he's really interested in? This is what he's really interested in. What he can do through us. Think about that again. What he can do through us. Because then it's his will being taken care of where? Down here. That's why Jesus Christ is the standard. He showed us that. He wasn't interested in the will of man. He came to do the will of the Father. And by doing that, by obeying the Father's will and submitting to his will at that climax in the garden when he said, Lord, not my will be done, many people have been saved because then Jesus Christ had died and then God opened up the message for the whole world, for both the Jew and Gentile to be saved. Sometimes what we tend to do, we think salvation is a destination, meaning I know I'm going to heaven. No. Salvation is far greater than just knowing you're going to heaven. Salvation is now an opportunity for me to walk with the Lord, to trust him, to prove him, and then see that he can do what he said. Most Christians have been robbed today. Can I get at least an amen out of that? Most Christians have been robbed of their finances. Most Christians have been robbed of their time. They have been robbed of their belief. What do you mean? Well, when I got saved, I asked the Lord what he wanted me to do. He said, I want you to learn the Word of God. Long story short, gave my life to doing that. I learnt the Word of God. I had nothing to do with anyone else. And then all of a sudden, now I know what the Bible teaches. You know what I came across, which really confounded me? Then people started to try to teach me out of it. What do you mean? Well, they're trying to steal my faith. And you say, why would man do that? Because man's ambition is to build a kingdom down here. And they don't want you and I just to simply trust Jesus Christ, follow him, and do as he wants us to do, and then understanding that the Lord is our standard and that we can now see him work wonderfully in our lives according to his perfect will. So the idea then, if you do meet people and you do talk to people, try to get in your mind that all I really want you to do is just receive the Lord. I'm not going to offer you anything else. I'm just going to offer you the fact that this is the message. Trust Jesus Christ and then allow him to do what he can do for you. It's so simple, isn't it? It's just too simple. Can I get an amen out of that? Come on, Moy. That's just too simple. Moy, that's not even very theological. No amen to that. Because God came down here where we are. He walked in the dust with us. Amen. And I think that's what's missing today. We're missing out on that simplicity that's found in Jesus Christ. We're missing out on the simplicity that's found in the message. Let's close with our last hymn if we can. We can do 236. 236.